opportunity. This is our first gathering of this new year. And Lord, with new days and new gatherings and new expectations, we get excited about possibility. And Father, we pray that certainly, Lord, this will be a harvest time for us, that we will experience an overflow, and we will experience, Lord, the bounty of what is in Christ Jesus. We know that all things are through you, in you, and we recognize the sovereign power of our God. So, Lord, we pray that this year we will always remember to seek you first. And, Lord, in all things and always we will acknowledge you. God, we bless your name and we thank you for, again, the opportunity to have gathered in this sacred and holy moment. And we pray, as we often do, that you would open our eyes and our ears and, God, make our hearts to be fertile ground. Pray, God, that you will bring up seed and bring up fruit. And, Lord, make us, make us, Lord, those vessels that can be used. And we certainly, God, pray that you would forgive us of our sins and have mercy upon us. Bless these, Lord, and others who will join with us. And God, we pray that you would again forgive us of our sins. And we pray, God, that your mercy shown to us will be the same mercy that we show to others. Your kindness shown to us, same kindness we show to others. Bless us, Lord, that we might bless many. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. God bless you. Please forgive my tardiness. Thank you, Brother Davis, for being ready to go with it. And thank you, Brother Walker. I came in on part of something that I know was special. The part I heard was special to me. It's inspiring, especially when you said about you like us. We like that part. So thank you for liking us. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at those of you who are here on watch night. We gave you a sermon title, To Be Continued. And what we're going to kind of do for a little while is work what I'm calling my 2B series. And so a lot of things we talk about, a lot of sermon ideas and things like that are going to kind of evolve around 2B. A lot of them, you know, I like to give you simple ways to keep up. So a lot of them are going to be things like to be continued, one, to be converted, to be confirmed, to be. So the seas will run rampant to be one of those things. Part of what we want to do is tie into spiritual foundation, spiritual faith, and spiritual family is to talk about what it means to be convinced and to be a collaborator, to be confident. So part of those things are all going to tie in, and we're going to pray that you kind of stay with us and pray that others will join with us so that we can certainly, as the Bible says, come up together. I pray that you did write to be continued somewhere so that you will remember that no matter what happens in your life, there is a to be continued until you die. And I'm looking at you all today, and I don't see nobody that look like they feel like dying. So there's a lot of to be continued in all of our lives. And I thought about, you know, again, this is our first Christian Academy. We've covered a lot of ground. And again, I pray you visit with your notes and stuff like that to kind of keep your mind fresh. But one of the things we talked about several weeks ago was when we said that we got to be faithful focused, you know. And what I really want you to think about going forward is how you maintain that focus. How you know, you got to stay on this. One of the things we're going to talk about here in a little bit is understanding that these biblical principles are just simply practical process applications for all of us to make. Don't miss it. It's practical stuff. It's not that hard. When you hear people say things like, well, I tried going to church, I tried doing, well, those things don't make sense. That's not even a good washout. Because the reality is, as Paul says to the church when he's standing in Athens and he's going over these conflicts with Agrippa and Festus and that lot, he says, listen, in him we live, move, and have our being. Nobody in this room exists without God. Nobody. And nobody outside of this room exists without God. Even the worst of our generation, the worst of our history, mass murderers, thieves, robbers, the Genghis Kongs of our time, the David Berkowitz. They don't exist without God. So there's no such thing as I tried to be a Christian and it didn't work. Because you can't exist without God. Jesus says, my Father and I are one, be one with us. But he also says that anybody that does not accept that offer will eventually be cast into the fire. He didn't say immediately, but he said, listen, you know, there's going to be a time when you can make a decision about this thing. And if you don't make the right decision, there's going to be a penalty that you pay. So I think that what we must begin, and again, this is not fresh for you because you've already done it, but I have to say it. We must begin to undertake this life in Christ and stay focused. If you drive an automobile, you got to be focused. If you work on an assembly line or if you work in any place, you got to be focused, because if you lose your focus, bad things start happening. Some of us have met with people who got bored on the job and said, you know, I'm just not going to work here anymore. And they quit because they can't stay focused. When things are happening in our lives, we get a little distracted at times, family crises, some other things that bother us. So somebody will say, listen, you need to take a little time off to get your focus back. Burnout. You know, when I was in the military, that was a big word. And I'm sure they probably use it in corporate places, too. People get burned out, you know, and they tell you, well, take a sabbatical or take some time off so you can get your focus back, get your energies back. Well, I think in Christ Jesus, these New Year opportunities give us an opportunity to go back and revisit our focus. You know, Matthew's gospel says that we got to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't change because it's a new year. And a lot of times we talk about resolutions. I think that we need to make a resolve. A resolve is a little harder than a resolution. A resolve is kind of like, you know what? This is it. Resolutions, you know, you make them and throw them out there. But I think we ought to have a resolve about how we are in Christ Jesus and these new opportunities for whatever they're worth to you. Because the value of newness is different with everybody. It's really not the same with everybody. And so when we're looking at what we're going to be in this to be series, it has to mean something that my focus drives me. So Paul writes this letter in the church at Colossae in chapter one. We want to go to chapter one of Colossians. There are several things that he says, and I think that we'll look at verse 11 first. He says, here's what we're praying, that you will be strengthened with his glorious power, so that you will have all the patience and endurance that you need. Notice what he says to the church now. This is an infant church. They're young. They're coming into Christ. So we're going to relate it to a new year experience. You know, this is a young church. So we're going to kind of just make this relationship that, okay, this is a new year. So if this is the first thing we say to each other, in this 2013 season, let's say this to each other, that we'll be strengthened because we're going to need that. And that we will have the power of God. Every one of you in this room have your own individual power. Generally, we think of men as being stronger than women, physically built a little differently. But every man is often shocked to know that women have certain muscle groups that we don't have, a certain muscle configuration. There's an old trick they try where you lean your head on the wall and stand back and, you know, can you stand up straight and then can you pick up a chair? Women can do that because their muscle group works a little different. But, you know, but there are things that all of us have that make up our own power. Oftentimes, our power is revealed in what we know and how we put into action those powers based on what we know. Brother Melvin used to work in a place where they assemble things and they manufacture. So if we went to his job, because of what he knows, he seems to be more powerful. We'll stand back and go, man, how do you do that? Well, it's learned. So he has a power based on knowledge, information. We go to another place, and it can work anywhere. Even the most simple things can make some of us look foolish because they have a power. They have a knowledge of things. And then, so we also have to look at the fact that All things are of God, from God, made by God. Bible also tells us that all of those things that are of God and all those things that he made were made for us, for his good pleasure. That's a wonderful understanding. When you know that everything that God has done was for you, to his good pleasure. So his glorious power then becomes more than whether we can speak in tongues or lay hands or whatever. It is what I like to call part of the operational experience of the relationship. Jesus says that everything I've done it because of my Father. Everything I said, I've said because of, that's what you have. Because you have everything that he had. He says, I will, my Father will, deny you no good thing. Remember what we said several weeks ago. We have to be detailed in our desires. Because, again, we're looking at a new thing. So this is the 2013, and just as late, just like in 2012. It doesn't matter. Just who cares? Some things never change. Well, you got one of our disciples beat. I won't call no names. But anyway, so we have to look at how we do this going forward. So here's an opportunity to say what we want. Remember now, we took we took John's letter and said, I would that you be in good health and prosper. So we want to keep using that. So here's what we want to look at from verse 11. We want to be able to encourage each other and say to each other that I would that you be strengthened and that you become a recipient of, as well as a distributor of the glorious power of God. Remember now, notice what I just said to you, that you receive it, but also that you give it. That's going to change everything we do, because when God empowers us, there's a purpose to being empowered. It is not that we can just brag that we have more power than you have, but that we now use that power. Everything given to you is given as stewardship responsibility. Stewardship responsibility requires that what you are given, you use, but not selfishly, but for kingdom purpose. Okay? So when we look at it, so here's what he's saying again. He says, okay, that you bear fruit, that you be faithful, that you be focused. Now, all of these things are right in the text. He says, listen, so that you will have all the patience and endurance that you need. In other words, he's saying, listen, some things are going to require that you just be patient. How many of us get antsy or get in a hurry? Been there. What does it do to you? Not much. Kind of frets you a little bit. Well, Jesus gives you an answer to that as well. Jesus said, listen, don't worry. Stay focused. He said, don't look over into tomorrow, because today's got enough stuff going on. And how many of us have ever got to that point where we realize, you know what? This ain't changing nothing. You done had the headache. You done stayed up all night. You didn't get, and the next day, you still got to deal with the next day. The world ain't going to stop because you worried or fretful or antsy. Or, you know we, excuse me, we get anxious when we think, or anticipate that great things are going to happen or something beneficial is coming. We can't wait for it. How many of you ever heard somebody say, I can't wait for this day. Or, I can't wait for that day. And they wind up waiting for it. You do know that saying you can't wait don't mean you ain't going to wait. So he says, all right, here's what we want for you. We want for you, through the power of God, to gain strength, patience, and endurance. Because those things are going to be so needful for you as you grow in Christ. Earlier, he says to them that they would have this knowledge opportunity, a learned experience. Let me tell you what happens to us in 2013. We've used this kind of before, but we're twisting it a little bit different here. Our learned experience will change our living experience. That's a new one. You need to write that down. Because what you're learning is going to, in short order, affect how you're living. That's why you hear people say, thank you, Sister Jess. That's why you hear people say, boy, if I had known back then what I know now. See, what they're saying is, if I had learned then, I would live different now. Y'all know I like music. If I could turn back the hands of time. If you could, you'd mess all of us up. Because you do know that whatever you do affects us. Don't ever miss that. What Lloyd does affects us. What Deacon McKenzie does affects us. What Elizabeth does affects us. You are not here by yourself. If Sister Price, as our chairperson or trustee and leader, goes over and changes that thermostat, it affects all of us. Okay? If Mrs. Scott stood up and just started reading one of her eloquent poems, it affects all of us. If Minister White stood up and had difficulty because of some of the pains that she endures, some of us would say, let me go help her. It affects us. When we look around this room and people are missing or people are coming, it affects us. We are not of our own. We're all in this thing together. And one of the wonderful things that we would to have happen is that we all learn up together. Because it's going to affect us. When Sister Ozelia was working at training school, she drove. She was part of the transportation ministry. Whatever she did, driving that van or vehicle of her choice at that time or vehicle by assignment, affected all of those parties. When you go off the cliff and you're driving, everybody goes off the cliff. What happens in Greater Brookville Church happens to all of Greater Brookville Church. So it is advantageous to all of us that we learn Christ and live Christ together. Don't miss that. We have to understand, or at least seek a better understanding, a clearer understanding of these things, because we are all in this body together. And I heard Deacon Walker say it, and I don't know, he didn't know what I had, but he makes it clear just by saying how much they love us, that it's all of us. It's all of us. We have to have a sense of unity and union as the people of God. Let me say this to you, and it's not meant to be mean-spirited, but one ignorant disciple is one too many. It's one too many. We cannot separate ourselves because some of us experience the sovereign power of God and leave others behind. So he said, listen, I want all of you to have it. I want every one of you to experience the glorious power of God, that you be strengthened and patient enough to endure, because stuff's going to happen to you that you're going to have to get through it. And that's why we said to be continued is so relevant to us, because you can't quit because it gets hard. Again, part of his story. I only caught part of it, but I was standing here thinking to myself, wow, that's a good tie-in. He kept going. Even when he thought he failed, or didn't do as well, you kept going. It's always to be continued. No matter the difficulties, you have a spiritual walk to finish. So Paul says that we'll run this race with endurance. And I think the run can be metaphorically changed sometimes, because sometimes we just walk in. Sometimes we just crawling. Sometimes we just need to stand and catch our breath, but we still ain't quitting yet. You know, again, we may indeed at some point fall down, but we won't fall behind. So it's critical for us to understand that he's saying these things are important to us. So he says, in order to do that, now let's go back to Ephesians 6 and look at some of the stuff we have that's going to help us do that. We got some great things that's going to help us do that. Very familiar to us. We've been in church for a little while. So, again, he says, all right, here's what we really want to happen to you, that you get this strength, you get this power. So in Ephesians 6, let's go to verse 10. We'll start at verse 10 in Ephesians 6. All right, now watch what he says. He says, be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Again, there's the tie. There's the tie. Because at the Colossian church, he's really saying the same thing to them. But again, at the Ephesian church, he says, all right, get the power of God. I've said this to you before, and I have to say it to you again. You don't want to get the power of the pastor. You don't want the power of the deacons. You don't want the power. You want the power of God. Okay? You don't. If you get a water hose and you hook it up to the faucet, or as we say down south, the spigot, you hook it up there. And let's say you get a 25-foot hose. You turn the water on, and by the time the water gets to the 25th foot, you got pretty good pressure. You get a 50-foot hose. You turn it on. By the time you get to the 50th foot, yeah, pretty good. You get a 100-foot hose. What comes out at the end is not what started at the beginning. So you want to be at the source. So what I'm saying is you don't want to get weighed out on the end because it ain't the same. It's still water, but it ain't the same. So we want to be right there at the source, which, you know, the Martha, Mary feet, you know. We want to be right there at the source. So he says, get God's power. Don't get 50 feet down, 100 feet down. That power ain't the same. Get right here. And he says, when you get that, watch this now. He says, put on all of God's armor. Yeah. Watch this now. So that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil. See, endurance. Listen to me well. This verse is one of the verses that make you go, oh, man. Because what he's saying is everybody in this room are going to be victimized by the strategies and tricks of the devil. Doesn't matter if you're a minister. Doesn't matter if you're a trustee, poet, deacon. Doesn't matter. He said, everybody needs to hear me well, Ephesus. Put on the armor of God. When I was a trooper, they gave us ballistic vests. They used to call them, when they first came out, they called them bulletproof. They changed that. They said, well, they're not really bulletproof. They're ballistic. When I first got hired, they used to have a steel plate. What happened? Oh, my chin hit. Oh, man, I got a big chin. Okay. Well, they had a ballistic plate. Why does it keep doing that? I'm not touching that thing, am I? Oh, okay. It was right here. It was about this big, and it was metal. It was coated in rubber. And so you slid it down in a little slot in the vest. And what they discovered was if by chance somebody shot you and it hit the plate, well, guess what happens when things hit metal plates? They ricochet. So police officers were actually becoming grievously wounded or fatally wounded because of the ballistic plate. The bullet would hit the plate and go up in their head, on their chin. Well, that's bad. They died. So they said, okay, we're going to take the plate out. And they put a Kevlar plate in, which is Kevlar's made of woven fabric together. And they said, okay, this is better for you because if the bullet hits the Kevlar plate, it goes this way. But if it hits the Kevlar, it just absorbs, dissipates, hurt like crazy. But that's what it does. It is to protect you. Well, every now and then they call back for vests and they said, we need to test the vests. You know, they'll call, randomly pick a lot number. So, you know, my first year I got my vest. They called and said, we need to turn your vest in because they want to test your vest. I said, what do you mean test this? Well, they're going to give you a new one, but they're going to say, it failed. So here I'm wearing a vest that I thought was going to, it failed miserably. So, I'm wearing it thinking it's. So what he says is you need the protection, but the protection got to work. God's protection will work. Man's protection will not. That's why you need the power of God. The power of God. So when you understand now that you have this armor, why go without it? So they would say, well, you don't have to wear the vest. You can wear it if you want or you don't want. A lot of guys choose not to wear their ballistic vest. I never understood that. I wore mine every day. They're uncomfortable. In the summertime, as we say down south, you sweat like a pig. But I think I'd rather sweat in case I get shot, I got a chance. That, you know, because it only covers so much. You know, the worst thing is there's a little gap about right here that doesn't get covered. And really, that's the worst place to get shot, gut shot. Well, I mean, heck, at least, you know, duck or something. But, you know, you got it on. And it was given to you. Why not? I used to ask guys, why you don't wear your vest? Man, that thing heavy, man. But why not? It is armor. It's protection. And in the body of Christ, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, put this on. Because now watch what he says. He says, because when you put it, let's look at it two ways. He said, if you don't put it on, you will not be able to stand firm against all the strategies and the tricks of the devil. That's basically what he's saying. He said, but if you put it on, you will be able. That's a guarantee that DuPont couldn't give us. They made one series of the best. But Paul says to the church of God that you'll be able to stand. How many of us want to be able to stand firm against the strategy? Listen, how many ever been duped by the devil, tricked by the devil? Yeah, and you're saying to yourself, man, I can't let that happen to me again. So Paul says, in tying with what he says to the church at Colossae, that you'll have strength and the ability of God's glorious power to be patient and to endure. How many of you have ever said, man, if I can just get through this? That's your to be continued. You didn't even realize you were preaching your own sermons. Man, if I just get through this. Man, I can just get through these 10 minutes. I can just get through this hour. I can just get through this day. And some of us have lived long enough to have forgotten some of those days. And at that moment, you thought this was the end of you. You thought you would never forget that moment. If I ever get out of here. But see, God says, I'll get you through. You put on my armor because there's some strategies that are being formulated against you right now, even with your holy self. Right now, the enemy is formulating strategies and tricks against you with your wonderful self right now. But you're not going to be able to endure that and get through that without this spiritual implement being in place. Then he says this. He says, and I like this. He says, listen, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood. Let me tell you something about relationships. Don't mess them up. You're going to need each other. You got to learn that you're fighting against people like you. Can you imagine what our society would be like if we realized this one verse? No, I mean, listen to what he's saying. He said, you're not engaging against people like you. Jesus gave you an answer to this same thing. Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know what I've discovered? It's obvious some of us don't even love ourselves. Notice the order that Jesus said that. I went back and I kept looking at that, Deacon McKenzie. I kept saying to myself, you know, God does everything strategically. Why does Jesus say neighbor first, then you? Because it's important. Because if you can't love other people, you haven't learned to love yourself anyway. Think about it. He said, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Now, if you turn it around, you can say, well, okay, he's given us an indication by a reverse thought process to say, once I learn how to love me, then I'll learn how to love them. And you can flip this thing around theologically all you want to. You can play with it. But the reality is we got to stop fighting each other. And he says in this one verse that there is no good reason to fight each other. He says in this verse, and he couples it with what Jesus says about forgiveness and 7 times 7 and all that kind of stuff, that no matter what happens, don't destroy each other. Remember, they asked, well, Lord, how many times I got to put up with my brother doing stuff to me? He said, as often as it happens, find a way to get over it. Keep it moving. Paul is saying to the church right now that you got to learn that your fight ain't against people made out of stuff you made out of. You have one enemy. And that's the devil. So you got to stop sucking your lips at people, rolling your eyes at people. I can't stand so-and-so. You're speaking against your stewardship to love. And remember this, the Bible says, not Leroy, but the Bible says, the same measure by which you give it is the same measure that you're going to get it back. So some of the hell you're going through, you're bringing it on yourself. It's a new year. We're going to talk firm. Let's be fair. Learn to love each other and watch how your life changes. So here's a second principle to understand. Okay, we gave you the learning and living expectations. Loving changes your living. Yes, sir. Loving changes your living. Let me show you. How many of you ever been in love? Okay, two of y'all. Three. The rest of y'all need to get hooked up. Remember being in love and how it changed everything? When you were in love, it changed how you went to work. It changed how you ate your food. It changed how you slept. When you were in love, love. And trust me, in this life, you too young to even know Raven and Josh. But in this life, you're going to have that great love. It's going to come. You know, it's going to come. I mean, it's destined to come. Because we're all made for each other. And that's how it works. But you're going to remember how everything, your ice cream tastes different. When you're in love. When you went to work. Going to work and being in a hurry to come back home because you're in love. Not wanting to go to work and stay home because you're in love. See, love, so love changes your living. It also changes your income levels if you don't go to work. So you must go to work. But what he's saying to us and what Christ is saying is master love and you master life. Don't miss that. You master love, you master life. Agape, Eros, all of them love. That master any of them, master life. My friend Tony Braxton says it's simple. I love me some him. I said, we can turn that into a gospel song. Just make it about Christ. And when you do that, so Paul says to the church, he says, well, don't get it twisted by fighting each other. So let's put that aside in 2013. That's a new thing. We're going to stop this foolishness because we're not engaged against each other. We're here to help each other. The Bible says giving exhortations and encouragements to each other. A simple, you're going to be all right. Sincere. Pull people close. Say, hey, hang in there. How can I help? What do you need me to do? That old song that Bill Withers made, and you know, we kind of fell in love with it, about friendship. You know, he talks about lean on me. He said, but if you don't tell me, you don't let me know, I can't, you know. He said, there's nothing that's happening in your life that I don't want to be a part of. If you should have some need, you got to let me know. And that sincerely ministered. Remember, I told you now, everything God gives you is about stewardship and you give it more. That spiritually ministered, administered, applied, changes people. If I walk up to you and say, listen, I understand you're hungry. And I don't feed you. I didn't minister well. Remember, James said that. James says, what good is it for you to say, I understand you're hungry, and then simply say, be well fed, be blessed. And the man's still hungry. Get your hand. If you don't get your, ooh. And that's what they say about the church in so many ways, because we don't minister well. The gifts that have been administered to us. If there is sick among you, see, do some stuff and watch what happens. He said, and pray the prayer. See, prayer is so critical. So what he's saying to us is, don't do it against each other. That's not why you're here to make the difference because of the gift that is in you. And every one of you have a gift in you. Tell your neighbor, you got one. if not more than one. Amen. So he says, let's stop in 2013 the infighting. I've said this to you before, and I say it in all sincerity. I have no problem about arrows that come over the fence. I don't have a problem about arrows coming over the fence. I have a real problem getting shot in my back or getting shot inside the perimeter. Outside the perimeter, I know the enemy's out there. But I'd be darned if I knew he was in here. So you understand. So he said, notice, this is biblical. Highlight it. You might need to remember it. We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood. We're not. Then why waste our time doing that to each other? I read this verse a few weeks ago when I was getting ready. You know, I try to get read out. I had to make some phone calls. It got me. It got me. The Holy Ghost said, don't you dare teach this till you live it. Don't you even mention this verse. So I had to make some phone calls. I had to Google some people to find them. Because I had some fights going on. Y'all ain't listening to me. I'm not going to teach you nothing I can't live. And boy, you talking about swallowing hard. Yeah. So he said, you stop doing that. Listen, and you're going to be at peace. You will be amazed at the peace you find by your own process of biblical principle. Don't miss that. I said something. You will be amazed at the peace you find by your own process of biblical principle. This verse will help you first. And watch what happens. You're going to be able to say, phew. You'll sing the old Negro spiritual, I feel better, so much better, since I laid my burdens down. Paul says to the church, well, here's what you need to understand about what you're doing to yourself. Self-inflicted violence is the worst violence of all. What I mean by that? I mean the stuff you do to yourself thinking you're doing it to other folk because you're really doing it to yourself. That's self-inflicted violence. When there's a biblical principle that says, here's your way of escape. Jesus says, what does it really warrant or merit to you to love folk who already love you? He said, sure, man, heathens do that. That, you know, you don't want Jesus to keep referring to you as a heathen. He said, that's really easy. If you really want to do something, love your enemies. And what he's really saying is, you have a ministry then of conversion. Because if you love your enemies, they're not going to stay your enemies. They're really not. It's not possible. It's not even a practical thought. Some of you have won people over. How many of you have ever won somebody over? Amen. Just because you were kind. So-and-so can't stand you. I don't know why she don't like me. Let me go ask. Excuse me. And don't go in there with an attitude going, excuse me, I understand you got something to say. No, don't do that. Sometimes you just have to reintroduce yourself to people. Just walk up and say, my name is Larry. My name is Charles. And I'm, okay, that's a song. I'm sorry. Float on. Y'all know it. Don't act like y'all. Y'all try to act like y'all don't know these songs. Those songs made it. You don't know them. I know Jasmine and Raven don't know. It's a love song from way back. Float on. Okay. So understand three things are happening. One, fellowship, relationship, and then ultimately discipleship. Those three things are wrapped up in it. This union of us, these relationships, and then discipleship. You cannot, let me help you here because we've got to be honest going forward. You cannot move into discipleship life and not have worked on relationship life and fellowship life. It's not going to, trust me, you don't qualify. Because you've got too many things happening that prevent you from living discipleship life. Let me tell you something right now. Many of us fail in relationship life, and it ruins our whole life. You hear people say things like, I'll never get married again, because they had a bad marriage. Relationship. I'll never have another child. You know, this thing of trying to create closure because of conflict. Wow. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That's a new one. I need to remember that. I got to remember that one. You can't do it. You can't create. I'm going to put that on here. Thank you. I like that. Thank you, me. Y'all think, come up with your own stuff. I got to write that. I'm serious. I just got that one. Yeah. You can't come to closure because of conflict. Doesn't happen. No, sir. Because you'll never close. God sends you the next mate. And you say, I've been burned once. And he sent you the next mate. And you've already made up your mind, I ain't never getting hooked up again. And like that. You're not going to ever get closure because of conflict. You're going to have to come up with something better than that. Yet, you cannot become the disciple that God has destined you to become failing in parts along the way. It doesn't happen like that. Because the Bible says, whole. Remember the man by the pool, 38. Whole. Everything in his life had something open. And Jesus says, all right, in order for you to get up from where you are, you got to get closure. And all of the things that you've mentioned to me sound more like excuses rather than emancipation. Most of us would rather make excuses than experience emancipation. Because you won't close. Listen, all right, you say, well, I'm stuck because of this. Jesus says, why? Some of us carry bad feelings based on bad experiences, and we never get released. Jesus has an easy theology that the dead bury the dead. He's not just talking about human things. You know, some stuff, you just need to let it go. Because there are things going forward that you're going to miss because you're stuck back there. Never say to yourself, I never forget that. You just cursed yourself for the rest of your life. You just told yourself to create this little room with dark stuff in it, and you keep going in that room. I ain't gonna never forget what you did to me. Why? Why not forget it? If it was really that bad an experience, erase it. Man, you know, listen, let me tell you something. You have the power over life and death. Yes, you do. Even physically. That's why they can't have a thing called suicide. People kill themselves. That's power. That's a crazy power to have, ain't it? But you have it. Judas came to that conclusion. You know, Judas could have walked up to Jesus just like the rest of them and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Peter figured it out. Peter made a horrible mistake 3 times. And Jesus said, it's cool. You know, that's so wonderful about Jesus. See, I think we miss some of the really wonderful things about Jesus by complicating the conditions of our foolishness. See, some of the stuff you did was crazy, but you can just go to Jesus and say, Lord, that was stupid, wasn't it? I'm so sorry. He'll say, okay, that's cool. But you'd rather hide and quit coming to church, or you quit doing whatever you were doing, because let me tell you something. You ain't the craziest person in this room. Some of us got a lock on crazy. Those of you who are crazy know who I'm talking to. I mean, come on. That's just the reality of humanness. Because, again, let's go back to what we said earlier. Our learning experience affects our living experience. Some of us learned crazy because we were around other people who taught crazy. We didn't realize that it was silly, but, you know, they say, you know, well, my granddad always told me. How many of you ever heard somebody say something that somebody always told them? And you think, really? Your family kind of perverted, ain't they? They told you to do what? My granddad always told me, if somebody do this, bust them upside the head. You know how many assault and battery charges you're going to have going forward if you really do that? Don't let nobody walk over you. But the reality is, who really wants to walk over you? You're not that big a bump in the road. Most of us just want to walk around you. So what he's saying is, let's not do it to each other. Then he goes on to the next thing, because I'm running out of time. He says, I think that you must recognize that the reality is it is against rulers, evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world. Here's the interesting thing. Why let what you can't see bother you? An unseen world. He just said you can't see it. Now, remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. I got that. But don't let this get us twisted. He said, listen, you got people who are really insignificant interference runners. They're insignificant interference runners. In other words, they just trying to do stuff and just don't pay them no mind. What's that old saying? Ignorance is bliss. And you know, so-and-so, I didn't even reckon, I didn't pay it no mind. They out to get you, I didn't pay it no mind. They don't like you, I didn't pay it no mind. They said such and such about you, I didn't pay it no mind. It's unseen. Out of sight, out of mind. So the reality of the spiritual walk that we're trying to engage upon requires a certain level of, I didn't pay it no mind. Because remember now, we're trying to strengthen glorious power of God, be patient, and get through it. Life is a long journey. Pack a lunch. Don't think, brothers and sisters, that because you got saved last Sunday, that you'll be in heaven Monday morning. No, sir. It's a long journey. And you're going to have to endure. So when it comes, we won't be thrown amiss. All right, and then he says this. He said, now use every piece. Watch this now. Use every piece, verse 13, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil so that after the battle you'll be standing. Now remember, the church of Colossae says strength because you're going to have to endure. Paul says, ultimately, for the believer, you'll be standing. Not laying out, not on your knees trying to catch your breath. He said, you'll be firm, standing firm. You know, in the military, we have certain positions that we put soldiers in, attention, parade, rest, at ease, you know. But all of it is about standing in a certain bodily posture that does not indicate weakness. We don't slouch. Everything for us is about a certain, even when we say, you know, attention is direct, you know, hidden eyes, stand at ease. We still don't stop. You know, the difference between parade rest, and these soldiers didn't help. The difference between parade rest and stand at ease is really just a matter of relaxing your arms a little bit. You're still doing about the same thing. You don't just go, you know, there's nothing in the military that lets you stand like Joe on the block. You always got to be, you know, this is just, you know, and stand at ease simply means wherever I go, you go. You can watch me. Parade rest means you kind of stand like this. You don't get to do this. So we say, stand at heat. And, you know, you kind of watch, you know, sergeant walking back. But you don't ever get standing like smoke one. No. That's fall out. When we say fall out, dismiss, you can go do anything you want to do. But at any given time, as long as you got an ID card and I outrank you, when I give you a directive, you know, soldiers like the fancy word, directive versus orders, blah, 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 you got to follow that because you're under authority. In the body of Christ, you never drop the order of authority. Jesus commands that we do this. So he says, all right, here's what we want to do. We want to be at the end of everything that happens. Again, tie the Colossian letter in because we've endured and we're stronger and we got the glorious power of God. We'll be standing firm. So no matter what happens in your life, you don't lay down on it. You hang in there. Because after the battle, he said, listen, when all the smoke is cleared and everything is done and the enemy has done his thing, he said, you will still, notice now, He didn't make any indication that this is not a direct possibility. He didn't say you might. He said you will. Let me tell you something. One of the things I've learned in life, when I know the outcome, I better enjoy the experience. In other words, if I know how this is going to end, no matter what happens, I'm hanging in there. Because I know that he said, so I'm looking forward to no matter what has happened in my life, that when it's all said and done and the last bell ring, fat lady sing, curtain comes down, I'll be standing firm. I like that. I like that. And you should like it too. Because this is God's word to you. And the only qualification, well, let's not say the only, but the simplest qualification is simply that you believe. That you believe it. There are a lot of things that God is doing in our lives that we have not seen yet. You know, that I have not seen it yet. But I believe. I believe everything that God has said, everything that I picked up from my learning to my living, I believe him. So he says that no matter what the enemy does to you, and this is good for me going forward in 2013, I like this. No matter what the enemy does to me, because of my common union with God, my spiritual walk, my focused faith, that when all of it is done, I'll still be standing firm. If I lose the house, the car, the money, the wife, the kids, I'll still. If I lose the title, no matter what happens, when the enemy, and you do know the enemy wants to take stuff from you. That's his job. That's what he does well. He figures out, he says, Lord, Job is a cool dude, but start taking stuff. God said, go for it. But with limits. So that's what he did. Notice now, when Satan, please read Job's letter over again. Because what Satan does immediately is start taking stuff. See, that's you, don't you recognize that's how he works with you too?
I lost my job. God ain't fair. My kids don't treat me right. God ain't fair.
Don't you see what's happening? This is your test. You stood up a few Sundays ago, try me and see, Lord. Okay, Lord said, okay, we on. Satan heard you too. Lord, I'm available to use. Okay. God is not sadistic in no terms at all. But please understand, Satan starts with stuff. If he don't take the car, he just won't let it start. He make it where you need tires. You know, look, stuff. And you get lost. Because of stuff. Paul said, Timothy, please know this. You brought nothing in. And bless you, boy. You ain't got to. Can you imagine trying to get out of here with all that stuff? Trying to get to heaven? I like going out with nothing. I like coming in with nothing. And what is so wonderful about God is those of us who came in with nothing, he puts people in place to give us everything. Isn't that wonderful? Can you see how God works in your life? So he says, all right, because of your common union, your spiritual walk, your focused faith, that no matter what happens in your life, and this is, again, because it's our new season now, you're going to stand firm. When it's all said and done, through the arthritis, the cancer, the heartbreak, the divorce, the blah, 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 put your list out there. Fill in the blanks. But when all that is over with, you'll be standing firm. Why? Because you have the armor of God. Nobody's name is here. And nobody's name is left out. Watch what he goes on for. He says, stand your ground then. Putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Again, word. That's all he's saying. He said, get that word. He said, it's consistent. You got to put it on though. What is he saying? You have to make your own decision to involve yourself. Remember what we said several weeks ago. If your faith won't support you, how's it going to support anybody else? If what you believe about God, in God, through God, is not working for you, how's it going to work for anybody else? You halfway come to church. You halfway do this. Who are you going to convince? And then you ask yourself why you can't get nobody to believe you, why you can't get nobody to follow you. You can't follow you. You don't trust you. Stay with me. This is not an indictment. This is an inspiration. He said, listen, you got to put this on. I thought about it the other night. You know, again, military mind, I have this problem with that sometimes. But when I went into the military, they took everything I had, made me put it in a locker, and gave me everything they wanted me to have. They took my underwear, T-shirt, socks. They said, you won't be needing that anymore. And they gave me socks, underwear, T-shirts. They gave me everything. Wow. They said, listen, you now, of course, when you get off in the afternoon, because in training you don't get off at no time, but when you finally got back to civilian world permanent party, then you can get your stuff again, you know, that kind of thing. But the reality is when I went to state police, they gave me everything. They gave me socks. They didn't give me underwear. They gave me socks and uniform. And they said, now, when you're in our employ on assignment, this is what you must wear. And when you go to court, you always have to testify I was in uniform displaying my badge of authority. It's important that they know how you stand, where your empowerments come from. So God is saying to you, he said, listen, you're more Christ-like when you do the Christ thing. Don't miss that. You're more Christ-like when you do the Christ thing. When you put on the God stuff, people recognize you as a God person. When you put on a uniform, they say there's a soldier. They may not know the difference between a sailor, a marine, an airman, and a soldier. We know that language. But they see that and they say, oh man, that's a soldier. When they see you in the body of Christ, they recognize. Listen, you cannot hide the obvious. But you also, here we are, cannot excuse or explain away the obvious. We either know you is or we gonna know you ain't. So he says, put it on. You have a choice to make. And in this 2013 new season, you need to start making some choices. You cannot live in the fullness of God, keeping stock in foolishness of the world. Don't miss me. You will not. You will listen, stop blaming other people. Stop blaming me for you not being a whole you when you know you're not a whole you. It ain't my fault you ain't saved, sanctified. You ain't got to keep changing churches. Change you. It ain't never been the church's fault. It's always been you with your jacked up, confused self. It ain't my fault that you don't have holiness by now. It's you. He said, put it on. Put on truth and righteousness. It is available for the asking. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Stop asking for cars and houses and money and ask for wholeness of God. God, make me whole so next time I get a house, next time I get a car, next time I get money, it'll stay with me because I'm staying with you. Don't pimp God out. Are you with me? It's that easy. He said, listen, put it on. Truth. Money don't make you free. Bible didn't say that. Cute don't make you free. Bible didn't say that. Truth is the only freedom device in the world. How many of you have ever lied and lied and lied and felt encumbered and weighed down and finally told you? Okay, let me give you a recent case. Lance Armstrong the other day said he is finally going to tell the truth about doping. You know why? Because he's lost everything in the lie. And he's saying, if I come clean, because that was the deal they offered him a long time. They said, listen, if you just come clean, we'll just move on. This guy's 40-something years old and says he wants to compete again, but he's going to tell the truth. The truth makes you free. I'm convinced that Lance Armstrong is not a very comfortable person right now and has not been comfortable for some time. But he finally went to the Lord. I really believe that the Holy Ghost said something to him. I really believe that some spiritual person said, Lance, if you ever want to get over this, just tell the truth. Some of us in this room, and we're about done, we're going to try to maintain some discipline, but some of us in this room right now are going to be better suited after this lesson because you simply tell the truth. First to yourself. Let me help you here. None of this works without truth. First to yourself. Part of what we talked about watch night, some of you weren't here, don't know why you didn't come share with us. God bless you. But one of the things I said to them from the Philippian letter was that Paul makes it quite clear that we must be honest with ourselves. I gave them a little potpourri of titles I could have used. And one of the titles that I could have used was I can't keep lying about how I'm living. And you can't do that. You need to stop doing that. Stop calling yourself what you know you are. Stop pretending when you could really be. You do know you don't have to fake being a Christian. I took Pat and several others to a seminar down at Good Shepherd years ago when they were in the old church. And the instructor said something that I know they all remember. Those of you who went, as soon as I said, you're going to remember. He said that we should fake it till we make it. And I said, no, sir. And when I got downstairs, I told him that. I said, bro, you should have never said that. And he's a well-known preacher. I'm not going to call his name because, you know. And after we talked about it, he said, Doc, you're right. I got to fix that. You don't have to fake it till you make it. Just make it so you don't have to fake it. Stop lying to yourself. Paul said to the church, he said, listen, we got to hold on to the progress we already made. That was part of the sermon from Watch Night. And all I'm saying is, wherever you have gotten to, stick with that, but keep going. Don't get two good Sundays in you and think, oh, I'm saved, St. Baptist, filled with the Holy Ghost. Keep going. Whatever little jacked up stuff you've got, hold on to that, but make it better. I was walking around the house last night. I said, man, Leroy, you got all these projects. I start a little project. I like working in my house. I like doing stuff. And I got all these little projects I haven't finished. I was fixing some stuff over here, and I didn't finish that. And I fixed some of them. And, you know, I got I like to build furniture. Y'all didn't know I had it like that. But I like building furniture. So I got these people have asked me to build little stuff for them. And I know, put your hand down. I knew that was going to happen. See, this is why. Buckethead. That's what I'm going to tell you, Buckethead. You know, this is why. We don't let certain people sit up front. So the reality is, I said, man, so I walked around. I said, man, I got all these projects. Because, you know, I was getting ready to go on vacation. So I said, okay, I got all this stuff I have not finished. I said, this is crazy. And I got something over here. I got something. I said, it's irresponsible because you could have done this stuff a long time ago. So I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. When I get back off vacation, and the Holy Ghost said right there you go. There you go. And I said, Holy Ghost, you really shouldn't do that to me. But the reality of what I'm saying is, stop postponing this practical application. Just do it. Make up your mind this day that, you know what, right now, not next Sunday, not in a week, but right now, I am going to become a better Christian. Remember, to be continued. It's our B series. Because you can be converted. You can be convinced. You can be confirmed. So we're going to do a lot of BC, you know, to be this, and I said that. But here's what I'm telling you. He's saying to the church, it's going to start with truth. And it's right here. He says, stand your ground, put on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. And then he gives them the list, shoes, you know, that kind of stuff. He said, and you'll have all that stuff. But here's what I really like. Watch this now. In verse 16, and we're going to be done for the day. He said, in every battle, you will need faith. In every battle. And here's what I'm telling you now. Remember we said this, focus faith, several weeks ago. In your financial battle, faith. In your marriage, on your job, just make your list, fill in the blank. In every one of those, you're going to need your faith. What is trusting God? Listen, I'm trusting God in every battle so that I can win. Go back to the verse, back it up and look at it, what he said. He said, listen, because when everything's said and done, you'll be standing. You won't be broken. Listen, there's a difference between being bruised and broken. Many of us are bruised. We don't have to be broken. Life will beat you pretty good sometimes. Some things, you know, you come out pretty, that old unscathed mentality. But Paul told you now, you got to endure and be stronger because you got to have patience. to get through these things. So he's saying to us in no uncertain flexibilities that you have no excuse for quitting. Because you're going to win. You ever got so close and didn't know how close you were? You know, I am convinced of God that there is no place to quit. Not in the body of Christ. I really don't believe. Maybe you disagree with me. I don't think there's a place to quit. One, because I heard him say, be faithful even unto death. I just don't find. I mean, there may be some pullover places to rest. There may be some places that we can hide. You know, cleft of rocks and pavilions and underneath feathers. There's a lot of things God will do to conceal us, hide us. But there is no place to quit. So I don't understand emptiness. I don't understand falling back. I understand catching my breath. You know, I really believe that if you're going to be a better Christian disciple to be continued, you must understand there's no place to quit. Okay? Remember, one of my theme songs, the We Are the Champion thing, I like to play it. I put it down there because it just says to me that I am. Now, I'm not saying that Queen got a ministry. I'm just saying that it makes sense to me to have a champion spirit if you want to have a champion's life. Okay? It's how you think that shapes how you live. Winning starts with the mind. Did I help you a little bit? Okay, that's what I want to do. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have shared, and we believe you for what you said to us. Simple things, Lord, make the most significance, and we have found significant things today. And we pray, God, that we will make now life application to what you have said to the church. And for those of us, Lord, who are new to this experience, we pray, God, that we will remember to press, to keep making progress each day, for that's all we'll have to have accountability for, and we're responsible with each day, one day at a time, one step at a time. God, forgive us of our sins, we pray, and have mercy. Cleanse us, and we'll know what it means to live in the life of Christ, new, born again, refreshed. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. Amen. All right, let me mark my paper so y'all don't try to fool me next.